Welcome to Community Alert. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster with Ted Adams and Mike Williams. Keeping you informed on how to get ready and be prepared. Tuesdays at 11 a.m. and 9 p.m. and Saturdays at 1 p.m. on AM 1290, the Santa Barbara News Press radio station.
Hey, folks. Welcome to Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. And today we're visiting with Milt Larson, who's the owner of the landmark Los Angeles attraction Magic Castle. And last Halloween they had a fire there, and we're going to talk to Milt a bit about that and gain some knowledge about how he survived that incident and what we can learn from that.
Well, we're going to get into that in just a minute, but I want to get some announcements out here. The fire situation up on the pass and throughout Santa Barbara is starting to get to be something that we need to pay attention to, and I've heard that the conditions up there are as bad as September ratings. I don't know if it's quite that bad, but that's what people are saying, and we're only in March. So we need to start paying attention. Forest Service just put out an announcement yesterday afternoon about the fire hazards up in the communities of Mission Canyon and Hope Ranch and San Marcos Pass and what have you. We need to start paying attention to fire.
Heads up, folks. Yeah.
And to that extent, Santa Barbara County Fire Department has several very good announcements out that are available on their website, sbcfire.com, sbcfire.com, about how to better prepare your property. So does Santa Barbara City. Now's the time to start paying attention and start doing your clearing. And, of course, don't be doing the weed whackers late in the afternoon. We've learned that lesson well here, too. So,
well, don't use a steel blade in your weed whacker,
yeah,
for sure.
For sure, absolutely. But speaking of fires, let's get into today's conversation. Milt, thank you very much for taking time to be with us today.
No problem at all. Glad to be there.
Well, I caught the fact that you guys had a pretty significant structure fire last year, and I said, you know, we need to get him on the show after everything kind of balances out to find out from a business owner, and in your case, a well-known business, how did the fire affect you guys? What did you have to do? What are lessons learned from that from a business owner's perspective? What would you have liked to have had in place? Those kinds of questions. But before we get into the specifics, what actually happened?
Well, the excuse me, the fire itself was started, there was a roofer doing some repair work on the castle. Now, you have to realize that the castle is a 100-year-old building. It's 104 years old, to be technical. But the it's a three-story old mansion in Hollywood, and the three stories are actually about four and a half stories, if you count the basement and the attic and the three floors are the thing. Anyway, the there was a roofer working on the roof, and he carelessly left a blowtorch kind of aimed at a stucco wall. I mean, he didn't aim it at the wall, but that's what happened. And that created a heat. They kind of noticed it, but they didn't realize that by that time it had heated up the interior. And that's one thing that I think is the first lesson you learn, is don't assume the fire is out. They that's what they did. They said, oh, that's bad, but there was another worker there with a fire extinguisher, but there was no reason to put out a thing. The castle itself has about an inch of stucco, and then it has a lining of one-inch redwood. I mean, it's a building that was built 100 years ago, and that's the way they built things. So nobody knew that the heat of the fire was starting not a fire, but it became a fire because it was on the interior, and nobody noticed it until people in our office, that's what's on the third floor of the castle, is offices and, accounting offices, executive offices, and so forth. And somebody up there, this is about 11:30 in the morning, and they noticed a smell of smoke, and then pretty soon the smoke was apparent, and by that time it had gotten into the attic, and that's when it really ignited, and that's when we had a genuine problem, which is, you know, the fire was fairly ahead of us. So the people in the office immediately called 911 and evacuated the building and so forth. And the fire department responded amazingly quickly. And at one point in the fire, they had 126 firemen fighting the fire. Mm. And when I say fighting the fire, there were several firemen actually working on the fire itself. But the fire department was absolutely brilliant in their handling of, there were so many paintings and lithographs, antiques and things within the castle, the artifacts of the magicians, and very valuable things. And so they were either covering them or getting them out of the building and so forth. That's why they sent for a second battalion of firefighters, just to make sure things weren't damaged. And they were incredible, absolutely incredible. And so the fire was extinguished, but not before it did some considerable damage in the attic. And however, the fire sprinklers went off in the that area, and that plus the water for doing it is an incredible amount of water damage that after the fire. So the fire was simply phase one, and basically two months and a half. After the fire, walls had to be demolished, and, you know, if there were water in the walls, it would create problems. And so everything directly below the fire, which was in the attic, which means three floors of castle, had considerable damage. And basically, the restoration work just right about now is, matter of fact, it's still going on a little bit in the third floor area, which was not as much of a priority as getting the public part of the castle finished. So we opened the doors to the castle itself back more or less in business on Friday the 13th. We like things in the magic world like that. And that was January 13th. So we've been operating pretty much about 80% of, you know, reality type of thing since then. And as of about now, we're finally getting our final permits and everything to be 100%. But that's about it. After the fire, the castle, people sometimes don't realize this, that from the street in Hollywood, we're just a block north of the Kodak Theater and Roosevelt Hotel on Hollywood Boulevard, and it is very impressive. It's this grand old Victorian mansion in a world of modern buildings, but it always looks like that's all there is, and the castle kind of goes back behind some apartments and things, and a whole separate building. And so those are our theaters and the showrooms and ballroom and bars and all that sort of thing. So we were able to operate on a limited basis for all the time the big mansion was closed. So that's a story in a nutshell. But my advice to anybody about fires is don't have one.
Very good. Very
well,
good.
Well, I mean, you know, we live in Santa Barbara. I'm in Hollywood now, but the castle's in Hollywood. But home is Santa Barbara, and I've lived there for about 30 years, and I love Santa Barbara. But in our house, which is up on the Mesa, we're very particular about have flame-proof sidings, and everything is nicely up to code because the house was totally remodeled just before we bought it about 5 years ago.
Well, hold that thought about not having a fire. We're up to our first break here. Visiting today with Milt Larson from the Magic Castle on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster on KZSB AM 1290. We'll be right back.
Hey, folks, welcome back to the Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. And today we're talking with Milt Larson, who's the owner of the Magic Castle, and talking about a fire that they had on Halloween of last year and all the things that go with that. Interesting stuff.
Well, Milt, we were talking during the break, and before we get into a lot of questions about the fire and the aftermath of it, you said there's an interesting story that kind of parallels the incident.
It's the castle, again, for people that might not know what the castle is, it's the clubhouse for the Academy of Magical Arts, and we have 4,500 members all over the world, that magicians and non-magicians. You don't have to be a magician to be a member of the Magic Castle. But at any rate, it's all about magic, and we're in our 49th year, so next year is our 50th anniversary. And I only say that because Harry Houdini was probably the best-known magician that the world has ever known. And we have one room in the castle, which is the Houdini seance room, and we do a for fun seance with Harry Houdini, but all the Harry's artifacts are in that room. And so what I'm building up to here is when the fire happened, and it happened at, I think it was 11:26 in the morning, is when they kind of established that that's when the total ignition, but that's before it was noticed, it was 11:26. Now, the interesting thing about that is that Harry Houdini died on Halloween in 1926, October 31st, 1926. And just out of curiosity, after we've started thinking about it, we said, I wonder, you know, when did Houdini actually die? And he died at about 11:30 in the morning in Detroit on October 31st. Now, that's pretty weird. And the even more weird part is the office where the fire started and the attic is directly above the Dante room. Now, Dante was a very famous magician in the 20s and throughout the 30s and 40s. But Harry Houdini and Dante didn't get along. So the main damage in the castle was in the Dante room, which was directly underneath, and that was water damage. But that room had to be really demolished down to the studs in the wall. Wow. And the Houdini room, which is on the other side of the building, wasn't scathed at all. The Houdini room had no damage. The Dante room had a lot of damage, and Houdini died at exactly that time. So if you want spooky stories, you can save that one for Halloween. That's an absolutely true story.
Very good.
Well, as we talk about the things, now you had a sprinklered building. When did the sprinklers actually go in? Because obviously they didn't put them in 100 years ago.
The sprinklers went in 1976. We opened in 1963, so we had a long time before sprinklers. But and the fire department, because it's a historic monument building, we were very hesitant to put in ugly sprinklers. I mean, they're gee whiz, here's a turn of the century building, and we've got really awful looking horrible pipes in the ceiling. Yeah, terrible. So it took us a while to acquiesce to the demand, if you will, of the fire department. And at one point, and this was in 1975 or 76, is the fire department just said, you know, you haven't put in the sprinklers, so therefore you can't operate at the scale you're operating. You have to cut the capacity down to 50 people, I think it was. And at that time, we had party book for like 200 people, and so that's not good. So we moved the operation partially into the annex, we'll call it, where the separate building I'm talking about, which is a fireproof type one building. And during that time, we installed the sprinklers, grumbling as we did. You know?
Mm-hmm. Well, I was going to ask you, as a business owner, what did you think about what it was going to cost and entail in putting sprinklers in? What was your attitude?
Well, as I say, we were not happy about it because we figure, well, you know, been there all that time, and actually the proof of all this, it happened in October 31st of last year.
So were the sprinklers installed in the attic as well, in the area where the fire started? Were there sprinklers there, or were they in the lower floors?
No, when we put in the sprinkler system, it had to be every place. I mean, mm-hmm. the basement, the attic. It's a 100-year-old frame building.
Mm-hmm.
So any place is... They show it was a huge project.
Of
and
course.
And it took many weeks to...
A lot of plumbing.
But, and once it was in, we weren't unhappy. I mean, yes, there were pipes with sprinkler heads in them, but they weren't terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Not as terrible as we thought it was going to be. We thought it would just destroy the elegance of this grand old mansion. But it didn't. We were... just 100%
how
wrong
much do you
that.
Attribute the sprinklers to controlling the blaze?
Well, when it ignited or flamed up in the attic, they went on before the fire department got there. So,
oh,
of course, it controlled it. And the good thing about the sprinkler system was that it was regional. You know, just because one sprinkler had went off, it didn't mean that the entire building...
Yeah, that's a misconception about
that. A lot of people don't realize that, because
right.
I didn't.
Mm-hmm.
And actually, as I mentioned, I was in Santa Barbara and when the fire started, and my assistant here called and kept me appraised of what was going on, and the fire itself was extinguished rather quickly once the fire department got here.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, they had to do the usual thing, to chop holes in the roof to make the smoke out and
mm-hmm.
things that people don't understand that part either, and I didn't. And I, they said the fire is out, everything's under control. So I said, okay, I'll be in the morning as I normally do. I would normally come down and I take the train down to Los Angeles, and that's what I do. So I didn't make a hasty trip down there, and I had no idea of the extent of the damage until I got there the next morning and realized that my staff had been there all night, and,
wow.
you know, trying to take things out, clean them up, and all that sort of thing. And it was a tremendous amount of damage.
Yeah, you arrived
due to
chaos.
The water, but thank God for the water, and thank God for the sprinkler system,
mm-hmm.
because it could have been much worse. You know, our feeling on it is that two things. It was Halloween. We had a big party planned for that night, a big masquerade party like most Halloween parties are. If the fire had started early in the morning and there was no staff, and they like I said, when they smelled the smoke, they figured out there must be something wrong. And that was before the fire really flamed up. And if that had happened, conceivably the damage would have been huge. I mean, the whole castle could have been burned to the ground.
Absolutely.
And then, you know, there's a thing of that house in the east, and we looked at that and said, gee, that could have been a castle. But the other thing is that if it hadn't been noticed until several hours later and it flamed up then, and we had 300-400 people in the building, there could have been a loss of life, just, you know, people trying to get out and all that sort of thing. So we just thank God that, you know, the fire happened when it happened and was noticed, and the fire department was on the ball and everything. But I got to tell you, like I said, if you are very smart, just don't have a fire in the first place.
That's good.
On the other hand, I consider myself fairly smart, and I thought, you know, we had all this insurance, and he said, gee, why are we paying all that money for the insurance? Well, now we know, don't we?
Yes.
Well, hold that thought, Neil. We got up to our next break here. I want to thank our sponsor, ServiceMaster Anytime, California Fire Services Institute, and California State Firefighters Association, CSFA, for sponsoring. And, of course, our primary sponsor, the California Fire Safe Council. Community Alert with Ted Adams, Mike Williams, Richard Dugan working the slide pots for us on Community Alert, not if, but when, positive preparation for disaster on KZSB AM 1290 and newspress.com. Back in a moment.
Welcome back, folks. Ted Adams, Mike Williams, Community Alert. And today we're talking with Milt Larson, who's the owner of the Magic Castle in Los Angeles, and talking about his experience with fire and the aftermath of the fire at the landmark Los Angeles attraction, Magic Castle.
Well, Milt, as we start progressing through the fire here, the fire is over, you're standing there, and it's time to call the insurance company and start making some repairs. How did that adventure go?
That adventure started the day before I even got back down to the castle, because my staff is very, very good. And one of our people, Jim Bentley, who live close by and on the thing, and he's a off-duty, policeman. Not off-duty, but
retired,
whatever those are. Anyway,
used to bees.
Yeah. So anyway, he became our project manager really quickly. But one interesting facet of all of this is that our treasurer of the Academy of Magical Arts is a lawyer who specializes in insurance. And about several months ago, and maybe 3, 4, or 5 months ago, he became treasurer about a year ago, and he was looking at our insurance and said, you know, we're terribly underinsured, because that's what he does. Mm-hmm. And he got into it and totally revamped our insurance. So we had beautiful insurance, but if it had happened a year ago, apparently it would have been a problem. Now, the castle is not owned by the Academy. It's owned by the Glover family, and they own the whole hill with the hotel and the 11 acres of the hillside in Hollywood. So it was their insurance problem on the building. But it was totally covered, and immediately, almost by the time I got down the next morning, they already had meetings with the contractors and the everybody involved, and of course the city and health inspector, the building and safety. I can't tell you how many people are involved on one of these things, and they're all being very cooperative, because we are a historic monument, and Hollywood community is very proud of this grand old castle. So the cooperation was tremendous, and of course the insurance company was very involved in from these meetings from the minute the next morning this all started. But you can't understand how many people are involved in something like this, because in the first place, one of the things, the whole building had to be closed. As I said, we had an extra building, so we were able to continue our business. But things like the health department, we have a full-scale restaurant kitchen situation, and of course, you get water damage and everything in those areas. And then there's the building and safety. And every, in a 104-year-old building, the wiring in the building was, as a matter of fact, originally when it was built, it was piped for gas as well as electricity. The fixtures were, in case of electricity failed, they could always turn on the gas, Yeah, I mean, that's the situation. It's what they call knob and tube wiring.
Yes.
It's the rubber cloth wires going through porcelain pillars. And the entire house was that way, except for things that we started doing when we opened the castle in 1963. We had to, anything new had to be all up to current code. But the old wiring was still there, and that included, you know, chandeliers and wall brackets and things. So there's miles and miles and miles of that wiring had to be removed because we were tearing down walls and things for the water damage. And so one of the things is, you know, one wall was exposed, and it looked like, you know, like a beautiful Salvador Dali painting. I mean, there's so many wires within the walls that you never knew were there, you know, just because you turn on a light switch. But all that had to be replaced. You know, walls that had to have the plaster taken off had to be replastered, drywalled, and all that sort of thing. So it's a huge, huge project. And people that were at the castle before the fire remembered everything in the castle. And when they came back in, I mean, people that are just coming in now, you know, maybe living out of town or something, they're just coming in. And they say, oh, how nice, because it looks exactly like it did before the fire,
right.
Only it's brand new, you know. And it's a 100-year-old building that's up to 2012 code, because it has to be. And so it's blessing in disguise. You know, you certainly don't want a fire, but on the other hand, you know, when it's over, and thank God we're covered with very, very good insurance, so there was no huge loss. Naturally, there's no such thing as covering completely your losses. If, you know, we had the interruption of the business insurance, but considering the momentum of a business and what they happily call cash flow, you know, when that stops, you know,
mm-hmm. Yes.
the bills are there from the fire, and you have to pay them after the fire, and there's nothing to pay them with.
Yeah, it's funny how you
learn that lesson real fast.
Yeah, it's funny how the bill flow and the cash flow don't necessarily correspond with each other.
Not at all.
Well, it was fortuitous that you were able to do all of these improvements under your insurance. I mean, to just get rid of the knob and tube and put modern wiring in there, I mean, that's incredible. It almost makes it somehow worthwhile, because you did a tremendous amount of work on that building that needed to be done, and have it taken care of by your insurance.
Yeah. I've always thought they should build homes and houses and things with transparent walls, you know, like Lucite walls instead of plaster, because then you'd appreciate what's inside all those walls.
Well, that's right.
Because, you know, you turn on the light switch and the light comes on, and you don't realize that there's a whole, you know, there's plumbing and wiring and all that kind of stuff that's in there. People don't appreciate it. They say, well, why does it cost so much? Well, hell, take the wall off and look what's inside. It's
yeah, if you haven't been in the construction business, you don't have an idea what's inside. Well, there.
You hit on a very important issue, and that was underinsured. And that's a big problem in Santa Barbara. It has been for quite some time. And
everywhere.
There's a lot everywhere. There's numerous homeowners here in Santa Barbara have found out the hard way that they were underinsured. The insurance commissioners, current and past, have been in Santa Barbara talking about people being underinsured. Your treasurer came to you. Was there any resistance within the corporate structure to upping the insurance and what it was going to cost, or did you guys just buckle down and do it?
No, there's no resistance whatsoever. The board of directors are professionals. You know, our president is Neil Patrick Harris, the actor, and they're not contractors, let's put it that way.
Right, mm-hmm. Yeah.
But when Randy Sinat, who is our treasurer, suggested that it was underinsured, they said, well, bring it up to what it should be, and there was no question about it.
That's really great.
Because the man knew it was, and what he said, oh, my God, we've been underinsured for 49 years, you know.
So, yeah.
So, but I think the average person, like, we pay our insurance, and you really kind of leave it up to some insurance person to say this is how much you should have and all that sort of stuff without really going into it, because the average person has no idea. And I know I've felt that way. You know, I have car insurance, but I've never had a big accident or anything. And you say, well, why am I paying all that insurance? And I said, well, you know, I'll never need it. And but I got to tell you, one experience like we had with the Magic Castle, and I said, let's go out and
Makes a believer.
Well, hold that thought, Milt. We're up to our next break. Visiting today with Milt Larson, owner of the Magic Castle in Hollywood, talking to him live today from Hollywood on Community Alert, sponsored by the California Fire Safe Council. Not if, but when. Positive preparation for disaster on KZSB, AM 1290, Santa Barbara News Press Radio, and live on the internet at newspress.com. We'll be back in just a moment.
Hey folks, welcome back to Community Alert. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams, and today we're visiting with Milt Larson, who's the owner of Magic Castle Landmark in Los Angeles, and talking about the fire that they had and the aftermath of the fire and all the things that go along with having a devastating situation like that.
Well, Milt, let's get into the list of what you would recommend business owners and people listening today to do and not do to better prepare themselves for an event that happened to you.
Well, I guess my advice is, and I said it early on your show, and I said, if my advice is don't have a fire, that going beyond that, because right. In a lifetime now, in my life, I've had two fires. 1965, I think it was, in my home, I had a fire. It was not terribly, the house didn't burn down or anything, but I had a very large theatrical library, and it was pretty much destroyed by that fire. Hello. So, and the one thing about that is when you have that, and I'm talking about my fire of many, many years ago as opposed to the recent one, but you never get over it. As I say, that library destroyed my library. That fire destroyed my library. And I find myself to this day wanting to look up something in a book that burned down 50 years ago.
Mm.
You know? And so you can't believe obviously fires can cause loss of life and much more important things than losing a couple of hundred books. But the thing is that they are devastating. I mean, you have them. And that is, you know, the people that live in Santa Barbara up in the hills and everything that have, I mean, we live in an area of, you know, every time I hear a fire engine, we look out because we're across the kind of a parkland thing and a lot of trees and things. And, you know, one whiff of smoke and you know, we start packing, you know. But the... I guess the advice is, A, make sure your insurance is up to snuff. You get somebody that really knows what they're doing. It's, you know, it's really easy to talk to a real estate person and say, you know, what is your house worth? and then think about what's in it. And that's called appraisals. You know, you should really be insured for whatever you got because it could all be gone. You know, we're talking... Now, by this afternoon, you might not have what you already have. So I would just say make sure you're totally insured. If you never use it, isn't that wonderful?
Exactly.
I mean, that's an investment. You think nothing about spending a lot of money on a car or they went and then when you finally sell it, you get another car and all that kind of stuff. It's not that way with the sort of thing. You could lose the whole thing and start building. I feel so sorry every time I pick up the paper and read of, a family that is, you know, homeless.
Yeah.
In a world of homeless people and all of a sudden you could be one. Wow, that's... that's sad.
And you have to remember that your insurance doesn't kick in for 30 days after you buy the policy. So now here we are moving into fire season. If you're going to get new insurance, now's a good time to do it.
I would definitely say don't have a fire for at least 30 days.
<You're> right.
And get off your ass and go out and get some insurance. You know?
But, absolutely.
No, it's just, it is amazing. And I've had in my career, I've owned and operated three theaters, and you know, we had the Mayfair Music Hall in Santa Monica and the Variety Arts Theater downtown Los Angeles and the Magic Castle, of course. And I was involved with Caesar's Magical Empire very, very aware of what can happen, and that's not only fires, but everything else that could happen. We have our when we do our shows, our stage shows, we're very concerned about having the insurance. If somebody trips on the stage, or one of our magicians sawing a lady in half and screws up a little bit, and you end up with two half ladies, that's not good. So you got to be really insured.
If he disappears and doesn't come back, yeah.
Sure.
Well, how about earthquake insurance, Milt? How you guys do with that?
Well, I don't know. I've always, you know, we had a disastrous earthquake in the 20s in Santa Barbara, and so, you know, you look at some of the pictures of the building on State Street that were sitting in the middle of the State Street as opposed to where they should be, and it makes you think about the earthquake potential.
Mm-hmm.
And
of course,
we used to live in on a beach in Montecito, and we're up on a bluff as well as on the ocean, and you figure, well, a good shaker, you might end up in the ocean, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And so I guess you should really protect yourself in all areas.
How did you?
And that would be insurance for earthquakes too.
Did you take care of that when you upgraded your insurance for the Magic Castle?
You know, I really don't know the answer to that question.
Mm-hmm.
I believe because Randy was so meticulous.
I'm sure
he probably
would.
Do have.
Yeah,
insurance.
Because
the other thing is about the castle. It's funny, but I've lived through many an earthquake, as you have too, and one of the larger ones with the castle, the main dining room of the castle has a stained glass dome ceiling.
Ooh.
And the Sylmar earthquake was very a lot of damage in Hollywood, and the apartment building across the street had substantial damage, and on Hollywood Boulevard there was substantial damage. The Magic Castle had zero damage because it's a 100-year-old frame building, and it just kind of rocked with the hillside. You
yes.
know. On the other hand, people across the street, the chimneys were falling down and everything. So, but the fact that you have not had any damage in like three major earthquakes, and we've never had any damage. But it doesn't mean the next one
exactly.
be it, you know.
Exactly.
And then you keep hearing about the, you know, the big one is coming. Well, they say, well, we haven't seen it. It's like getting hit by a meteor, you know.
That's...
I mean, fine, it hasn't happened, so why should I get insurance? On the other hand, I don't think I wouldn't go out and spend a whole lot of money on meteor insurance.
No, that's right.
But... on the other hand, when the meteor hits, then maybe I'll say I should have had some, you know.
So,
I guess the only thing you can do is be as prepared as you can afford.
Absolutely.
And if you can't afford it, you should go out and borrow some money. You know. But we're very, very lucky. As I said, the whole castle could have been burned to the ground, or there could have been loss of life, or it could have been all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And we are very thankful to God and to the insurance company and everybody involved, and particularly the fire department. As I say, they were absolutely incredible.
Well, sounds great.
Well, the Los Angeles City Fire Department is one of the finest fire departments on the planet. And if you're going to have a fire, they're probably the first one you'd want to have come help you put it out. They're also extremely aggressive and well-staffed. And I do know that they take these things serious. And it's interesting to see that your issues are the same as the ones we've been plugging on this show for almost 4 years, or over 4 years now.
That's right.
Residential sprinkler systems, have an emergency plan, have proper insurance, make sure that you have your equipment in place and that it works and you know what you're going to do if something happens. And it seemed to have worked.
Yeah,
yeah, it worked. It worked for you guys.
Well, you know, my wife, Arlene, is almost fanatic about preparedness. We have, outside of our house, we have a little shed where we keep everything that you're supposed to have for earthquakes and fires and all that sort of thing. In the back of my car, not my doing, but her doing, is we have everything that you need, including a change of, you know, the shoes and the medical supplies.
We should get her on the show.
And her car is like a walking hospital. I mean, you know, she. I kid her, but you know, when or if all those disasters happen, we'll be in pretty good shape.
Well, hold that thought, Milt. We're up to our last break here. We're visiting with Milt Larson, owner of the Magic Castle. Ted and I'll be right back on KZSB AM 1290.
Welcome back to Community Alert, folks. I'm Ted Adams. My co-host is Mike Williams. And today we're visiting with Milt Larson, who's the owner of the Magic Castle Landmark in Los Angeles, and talking about fire that occurred on Halloween of last year and all the ramifications and how he dealt with it and how perhaps you can deal with something you might have in your home.
Well, let me get a plug out for the Magic Castle. The Magic Castle is a nightclub in Los Angeles for magicians and magician and magic enthusiasts, as well as a clubhouse for the Academy of Magical Arts. It bills itself as the most unusual private club in the world. Entry is only allowed to members and their guests. The lobby of the castle has no visible doors to the interior, and visitors must use a secret phrase to a sculpture of an owl to gain access, exposing entrance to the club. Nightly, five different magic performances are showcased at three different theaters within the club. For further information, give them a call at 323-851-3313. That's 323-851-3313. Or go to the website magiccastle.com. That's magiccastle.com for further information. And I'm going to be down there Monday night at Jason Alexander in the Seance Room with some of our folks from the Fire Services Training Institute.
Lucky you.
We're looking forward to that. It's going
to
be great. That's
going to
be great. So any closing thoughts, Milt? We're coming up to a last minute or so here.
No, the best thing is rather than call, it's better to go to the website, because that has all the information that you will ever need. And our operators here at the castle, you know, they'll be happy to talk to you, but we'd rather have you just go to the website and find out all about it, including you can be a member of the castle. You don't have to be a magician. And a lot of people, Jason Alexander, for instance, is an excellent magician, and people don't realize that. But we're looking forward to having you here at the castle on Monday night, and I'll be enjoying myself in Santa Barbara, but what the hell. And also, just one quick plug for those of you in Santa Barbara. The 56th annual It's Magic show at the Libero Theater on next Sunday.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to go, great place to take the family, because it's a show for all the family. It's not a kiddie show. It's just a wonderful show with big stage illusions and things. And all the Castle Award-winning magicians will be there. So you don't have to see them at the castle, but we'd like to see them in both places.
Well, the castle's a beautiful building. It's reason to go just for that alone, is to see the building and what all's been done down there. It's fascinating.
It's quite remarkable, because it's a house that, you know, you mentioned, or I don't know if you did mention, we maybe talking off camera, off radio, whatever we were doing about the dress code. But the castle is elegant old mansion, a 100-year-old mansion. And we like people to think that they're going to a millionaire's party every night in this wonderful old mansion, and that's the game we play.
Well,
if you like escapism, you cannot watch a magician and think about anything serious.
Well, very good, Milt. Thank you very, very much for taking time out to be with us. Milt Larson, owner of the Magic Castle, on Community Alert, Not If But When, Positive Preparation for Disaster. The news is next. You're listening to KZSB AM 1290.
This has been Community Alert, Not If, But When. Positive Preparation for Disaster with Ted Adams and Mike Williams. Community Alert is produced by the Wildland Residents Association, San Marcos Pass Volunteer Fire Department, and sponsored by the California Fire Safe Council. Technical support for Community Alert provided by Richard Dugan and Jim Williams. Community Alert, Not If, But When. On KZSB AM 1290, your news press radio station.